It's time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, we're back once again, and we've got we're eating. This is treat time. George Casildas is here. Terry Klein is here, and Terry brought refreshments, and we're all eating pumpkin something or other.
And this is called mistletoe.
Mistletoe. Yeah.
But only a podiatrist would know for sure.
Come on, now if I can reach over and eat gads.
Well, you got your fingers in it. You might as well eat
well,
it.
Well, yeah. Okay, that's good.
This is carrot cake.
Carrot cake. Well.
Cakes.
Did you save some? Oh, we've got to give some fruit cake to Scott.
I'm thinking at the. I'm thinking we did it twice at the mall, once at over there on East Center Street, and then here. I think this is the fourth time. It might be the third, but I think it's the fourth.
We did it for however many years in the basement of the Bell Tone Hearing Aid, and then this is the first time here.
No, and it's good. All times are good. So we're... We have eggnog, for one thing.
An apple pie moonshine.
Apple pie, yeah. And something else in a glass jar.
It's
I don't
apple
know.
Pie moonshine.
Oh. Does all moonshine come in glass jars?
Yes.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Long before the plastic jugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, canning jars.
Yeah.
Long before the plastic jugs. Another one?
Might as well.
Tasty, aren't they?
Might as well.
Yep.
I got him.
Package this stuff so you know you can't get to it. You need a jackhammer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Whee!
Oh, if there was only smell radio.
Yeah. And we got to make sure Scott has some... Village Fair fruitcake. Wow. That really looks good. Soft, fresh. Oh, boy.
All the years my wife taught, she would always have a fruitcake pin on her thing.
Really?
And with a check on it.
Yeah.
No, a mark on it. Like
no fruitcake?
No fruitcake, because my wife does not like fruitcake.
Is that right? Oh, my land.
Because of the candied fruitcake.
Oh,
if it
the
was
candy.
Fresh, if it was fresh fruit... It would be different, but it's candied fruit. Something about candied fruit.
I never
and
used
this
to
is
like it.
This is pre-sliced already.
I had a Claxton. Evers is always going on about Claxton.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, was that good?
Yeah.
That was, you know, good is good. There are some things that are less than good, but you'll know when good is good.
I used to get Claxton every year. At the restaurant back in the 40s and the 50s.
Claxton turns out about 93 million bars a year. This company, I don't know. What's it?
Open that baby up.
Yeah.
We'll have the official.
Here, I'll have you open
we'll
it.
Have the official fruit cake.
Where are they from? Claxton is from.
I don't know where Claxton's from.
Yeah.
This is from.
Claxton, South Carolina, I think.
Oh, really? Well, this Village Fair fruitcake is from, get this, Bogart, Georgia.
Bogart.
Oh, Bogart.
Was that microphone. Where Humphrey was from?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Hopefully talking loud enough it picked up.
Was that his hometown?
That's, I don't know.
They do on 39.
Humphrey? Humphrey Bogart?
I don't know. I guess from New York City.
Well, I know where he was married over there in...
Malabar Farms.
Malabar Farms.
Yeah.
But he might have been from Georgia originally.
No, he was New York City, I think.
I think
he was a boatswain's mate.
In the Navy, yeah.
Yep,
or Coast Guard. Coast Guard or Navy?
Well, now you got me wondering. One of the two.
One of the two.
Isn't it part of that pre-cut?
It's all pre-cut.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, you see, I once had a store in the town where Bromfield would come to with Lauren Bacall. And everybody knew when he arrived.
Yeah, take them both.
And they would they would catch him on the phone, a party line. And Humphrey knew it. And
on the party line?
Yeah. And Humphrey knew they were listening, so he would say something pornographic. And he said, and you'd hear click, 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 people hanging up. That was one of his favorite things to do when he came to Lucas.
So taste that, and thumbs up, thumbs down.
Good, thumbs up.
Okay.
Good.
Quite a treat.
Yes, indeed.
It doesn't have that richness, though, that the Claxton does.
Yeah.
And that caramelized,
real
dark. Oh, you want another eggnog?
Yeah.
That's right. You're not driving today, right?
I'm not, no.
Jeannie drove.
Yes, Marie.
I know she went over to next door.
Charleston Place.
Charleston Place, yeah.
Place is going to smell like a bar. You ready for another one, George?
I used to do shingles down in Caldwell, Ohio. And the sheriff of that county would make white lightning and pass out samples to people.
Wow.
You don't want to drink that straight.
Oh.
Ooh.
I did once and it ruined my whole day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now, do you remember, it's probably a little before your time, but you probably heard the stories. There were some guys out of Detroit, I think it was, brought moonshine to Marion, and a whole bunch of people went blind or killed them or something or other. But, yeah, that stuff, that's pure, essentially pure grain alcohol. Might want to stir that up a bit.
Thank you. Yeah.
I know when they have the over in where's that next to Highland High School? What's that? Sparta?
Yeah.
We go over there for a family reunion every once in a while and they bring out the moonshine.
Oh, okay, yeah.
How can you get in the spirit of any holiday without spirits?
Yeah.
Spirits. That's what it's all about. The spirit of
well,
the
down in Caldwell, Ohio. The sheriff had this still going, and as soon as he had about a half a jar full, the men standing around would all sip at it. So I thought one day, I'm going to try. I'd worked there for years and had never tasted it, so I took a great big gulp of it, and I couldn't do a thing the rest of the day.
You were inebriated.
Well, yeah, a horrible feeling.
That's a big word, inebriated.
There's nothing finer than
to be in Carolina
in the morning.
There's nothing finer than a 1 hour aged liquor fresh from the still. It's like on mash.
Oh yeah, mashed.
Yep, they're wonderful still.
In certain parts of Ohio, they still. And Kentucky and West Virginia, they still do their share of producing white lightning.
You're allowed to make so much for personal use.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, what was the first place for White Lightning? Was it Kentucky or the Carolinas?
I would think Kentucky. I can't say for sure. Well,
when they started the taxes back in the 1700s, and everybody moved to southern Ohio and Kentucky, and they got out of Pennsylvania and New York and that, it's probably about, you know, that's why they, you know why they called them bootleggers, right? Because they had a flask or whatever, they'd sell it, and they'd have it in their boots.
So, oh, really? I did.
Yeah,
I
so
never
they wouldn't
heard.
Be detected. So.
Well, I had a long dissertation on White Lightning in Marion County years ago, and people would call in and tell me where they hid their White Lightning. And this one farmer said they kept it under his floorboard in the Model T. Yeah, it was years ago.
Probably came in handy when he ran out of gas.
Yes, it would. Although, it probably your engine would knock. It wouldn't have any lead in it.
Well, as long as it get you where you wanted to go.
Yep. So, George, what else is happening in Marion? Now, you talked about some of the new establishments opening up in downtown Marion. Now, realistically, wouldn't you have to have a steady amount of traffic just to pay your taxes and your bills and wages, whatever? So it probably would be a struggle for those just opening up.
One, two, three, four, five, I think six. I can name you six places that have just opened up within the last few months.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that those six have done it.
Yeah, I hope.
But I still don't see that much traffic downtown.
That's right. You've got to have steady business through your door. Yeah, there's just so much. Well, and the remodeling, what did Alex Sheridan and his partner have done, Luke Henry?
Yeah, they've done a little bit on South Main Street, but the other ones have opened up on East Center Street, too.
Yes.
Two stores over there, a clothing store, and then a yoga studio with jewelry and some clothes.
Now, what about, what's his name that had the two clothing stores?
Dick Kiefer?
Kiefer, yeah. Is there something, it doesn't look like there's anything in there yet.
Some guy is remodeling both rooms, both sides.
Yeah.
And
that'd be pretty much room.
Well, remember the archway he had in between the two rooms Dick Kiefer had? He had two rooms.
I was never in there.
You were never in there?
Mm-mm.
Well, the guy that purchased it, the real estate lady that sold him the building, says she's been in there quite a few times, and he is amazing what he's doing.
Really?
In there.
Well, good.
But I don't know what it is. If it's a restaurant.
Was there a billiard parlor included in that, I wonder? Seemed like I read
it. It was on the second. You know what was the second room?
No.
Oh, come on. I just before I started, I said it. Now I can't say it. Markert and Lewis.
Yeah, Markert and Lewis.
Not Markert. Markert.
Yeah, right.
M-A-R-K-E-E-R-T, Markert and yeah. Lewis. You know, he was one of the first, he married, did he marry Warden Harding's sister?
No.
Who did he?
The guy that built Burnham Heights.
R.T. Lewis.
R.T. Lewis, yes.
He married somebody.
Abigail.
Abigail Harding?
Yep.
Who was Abigail?
Harding's sister.
That's what I just said.
And she had been a teacher at Harding High School.
R.T. Lewis. God, I went into that store. In fact, I still have ties that on the back says Markert and Lewis.
No kidding.
Yeah, I bought ties from Markert and Lewis. There was a pool room behind there.
Yeah.
That's what you just mentioned, the pool room behind the Markert and Lewis's clothing store.
And I didn't realize the Lewis was R.T. Lewis.
That was R.T. Lewis.
I'll be darn.
He has a... I think he's responsible for the country club.
Oh.
He had that built.
Yeah, and that was after Harding died.
They got a couple of the holes there, R.T. Lewis, with his name on them.
Yeah.
And if you go in the bar area where all the pictures are on the walls, you'll see Warren G. Harding, R.T. Lewis.
Oh.
One picture has even got the ex-president that Harding named Supreme Court Justice. What was his name? He was a president before Harding.
Calvin Coolidge.
No, it wasn't Coolidge.
No, it was...
He came to Marion after he...
Did he?
He came to Marion and had and she fixed breakfast for him and Warren. And afterwards, Warren
Wilson.
Says...
Huh? Wilson?
No, not Woodrow Wilson.
Woodrow?
Woodrow was back in 1918. Come on, this is 19...
Harding was 21.
I'm trying to think of this name. Big guy. Big heavy set
Taft. Guy. That'd have been way longer.
William Howard.
William Howard.
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. And Terry, I don't know if you noticed, you probably did, in some of the flyers, you can buy... those quadcopters for $19.99 and less.
Yep. China's flooding the market.
Yeah. So what will this mean? What do regulations mean for people buying these quadcopters? Are there regulations?
Those little tiny ones that are about palm size, few to little. But, the ones that they're concerned about are ones that are much larger, but it's still all... I don't think they've found anybody yet that has been doing the things they say, and, you know, the sightings at airports and stuff. I find that hard to believe. Nobody has any proof. It's like, hey, let me see a good picture of a UFO.
Yeah.
It's all the Chicken Little syndrome.
Oh, by the way, here, you tell about it. The airfoils having a big training session, more or less?
Well, practicing, keeping the hands and everything and the eye coordination and all of that. I don't know. For several years, they've been renting the Coliseum. So any members of airfoils or the general public's invited, it will cost you not more than $15 to go out and fly in a 3-hour period of time. And anyone who would like to come out and fly, you're welcome to come out. December 29th, January the 5th, January the 19th, February the 2nd, February the 16th, and March the 1st. So there are some rules that you have to follow, and they'll probably give you a brief orientation of what to do and how to conduct your flying out there. But it's a good opportunity to be inside. And also, a lot of the members of airfoils, they enjoy the sport, the hobby, and everything so much. You can get there's a wealth of information for somebody just starting.
Okay, Now, today, to bring it down to, not today, but Saturday, the train shows at the Coliseum, or at the Coliseum or Evers Arena, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot going on.
Yep. Be a good one. Go out and look at the trains. Now, what about the station, the train station that has the model railroads out west into town?
They outgrew probably the space needed for the train show. I think it started out there.
Oh, it started. It was there for many years.
Yeah, okay.
But aren't they still housed out there and they open up on the weekends or something?
They're housed out there at the depot.
Yeah, the old train station.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, but the train show is at the fairgrounds today, or Saturday.
Saturday.
But when can people go out to that train station to see the model railroads?
You know, I don't know their hours.
Evers, you're supposed to know everything. Everywhere Evers, yeah. And you don't know.
I do. I know everything but that.
You know everything.
It's got fruitcake on the mind.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Anyhow. So I would love to be.
Would know.
I would love to be able to afford a train. Oh, I love model
big
train.
One a model one, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I've been looking at HO slot cars. Remember when Marion used to have the Micro Raceway, which used to be the OK Pizza Chef, and it's, I think, an animal hospital now or something or other. It used to have slot cars in there, 1/24th scale. And Lush's over on Bennett Street used to have slot cars there. So that would be something to start in Marion. Anybody out there listening, set up a race car set for slot cars. I think you'd get a lot of action going.
You know what we had in 1949 down South Main Street Hill?
Oh, yeah.
Soapbox.
Soapbox Derby. Oh, my God. I was in that.
Oh, really?
I helped build one of the first cars.
Good heavens.
That run that race. In fact, my neighbor beat me. His name was Lowell Schleck.
Oh, I was going to add Lowell Shear.
No, Lowell Schleck.
Oh, really?
Lowell Shear. I remember Lowell Shear.
Yeah, right.
He's still here out on East Center.
Or North Main, wasn't he?
No, he lives out on East Center Street, off of East Center Street. I talked to him not too long ago.
Oh, okay.
Lowell Shear. But Lowell Schleck won the 1949 Soapbox Derby.
And it's hanging in Heritage Hall yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I can't seem to get anything organized for...
That was when we first started, 1949.
Yeah.
And the one I built, I don't know why, but the word atom, A-T-O-M, atom was a big... Atom bomb, atom something.
Oh, atom everything, yeah.
And so we named our car Atom, A-T-O-M. Oh. And one of the helpers was a guy named Tom... So, hey, Tom.
Now, that was down State Street?
No, South Main.
South Main.
South Main. Went down to the old Ohio station on the corner.
Yeah.
And it was really unbelievable.
Yeah, if only we could have something like that starting again.
That would be interesting.
I don't know if you can ever bring anything back.
Well, that's what would keep the teenagers busy.
Yeah.
Because we were all teenagers then.
Yeah.
But you can be the catalyst for that, Charlie. We need to start the Soapbox Derby races, Prospect Street overpass, and those who can go down it, go across Church Street, and end up on Columbia Street. Hey, that'd really be something to watch.
Yeah, that certainly would when a soapbox racer went underneath a semi. Timing perfect.
Mm.
Wow. So, George, or George, well, yeah. George,
I'm George. George,
yeah.
I shouldn't have given you that other eggnog, should I?
That's funny. But I was going to ask you about, have you noticed the concentration on beer in Marion? Homebrew beer.
This place that Marion Brewing Company that took over the old Sleazy Slipper. Yeah. Remember the Sleazy Slipper?
Was that the gay nightclub?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was called the Sleazy Slipper. That's where the Marion Brewing Company is.
Yeah, right.
And they got all kinds of beers in there. Guess what? I haven't even been in there yet.
I haven't either.
Have you heard about it?
I've read about it, heard about it. I think, you know, and there's we're coming to, it's reached its peak. It's just like the craze, barbecue, smoked ribs, this ribs, those ribs, everybody's ribs. And that's kind of faded away.
Adam's ribs?
Yeah. I think you're going to see a lot of these other breweries, the small ones, and I know they're all hoping that, like, one of the big boys, Pabst, Anheuser-Busch, et cetera, will buy them out and take it over. And that's what they've been doing. But I think you're going to start seeing the tide has changed on that.
Did you see the headlines in the paper? Was it yesterday? O'Day's Pub.
O'Day, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Cooper Bowl.
Down in
the bowling alley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They got about 12 or 15 beers, a draft, maybe 18 beers.
And one coming yet, you know, on Center Street, the Park Place.
Yeah.
They've got one going in there.
I just can't believe all these different people gotten 15, 18 draft beers. I had, three? No, wait, I had four. Three or four draft beers back in the late 40s, early 50s when I started the keg and vine.
Yeah, right.
The keg room, I had two barrels.
Right.
I had two wooden barrels on the wall and two drafts on one side and two drafts on the other. And all I had was the, not all these fancy names, just I had Löwenbräu from Germany, which was one of the biggest names in beer. Remember that name, Löwenbräu?
I think Miller distributed Löwenbräu in the United States.
But I got it directly from Germany, from the Bissmann Company in Mansfield.
Right.
The
Bissmann Brothers, yeah.
The Bissmann Brothers.
Achtu Lieber. Achtu Lieber.
In other words, the guy that ran, that managed that company, he went to Germany and made sure that I got the real Löwenbräu cakes.
Wow.
Oh, they were expensive back then, too.
You know, one I like is Guinness Stout. I don't think Guinness Stout is the drink of, you know, Ireland, whatever, oldest brewing company around. But not everybody would like it. It's bitter.
Now, the biggest seller I had, Löwenbräu was good, but I had one at all the advertising agency guys used to come in my keg and vine, and they would call it off and off.
Oh.
You know what off and off was? Half and half?
Was it?
That dark black beer.
Like the Bock beer?
No.
Oh, what is it? It's from Ireland. Well, it's Guinness. Guinness half and half.
Guinness.
Yeah. Well, they call it black and tan. Too.
Black and tan, because the Guinness was black.
Okay, yeah.
And then the other ale or whatever it was half.
Yeah.
And you'd pill the glass from the draft half with the Guinness and half with the ale. And it would be kind of half and half.
Oh. Now tell me, there was an ex-policeman, Charlie Ciola. They used to go around cleaning. He had.
Isn't Charlie still alive?
Yeah, but he doesn't do this anymore.
He used to clean the draft beer lines.
Yeah, right.
Who do you think cleaned mine? Charlie Ciola.
Is that right? Yeah. Charlie was a good friend of mine, an ex-policeman.
Ex-policeman for many years on the police force.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's something. But, yeah, people don't realize how clean those spouts have to be, because they do what clogs them up,
bacteria, or
what builds up bacteria in them.
Well, you got the everything in the beer, I would imagine. Well, unless the beer's pasteurized, it's not going to ferment on its own or continue to do whatever it does.
Yep.
But there's bacteria and stuff that'll grow in there, and that's why when you pour a beer, you never touch the tap. Never.
Never. Yeah,
Health department will nail you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And in everything today, if you've ever watched Bar Rescue, that John Taffer, I think is his name, these newfangled, new-age beer taps and everything are unreal. Have you seen that show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Geez, they're just, it's so scientific and so sanitary, it isn't funny.
So now all these new draft brewing companies in Marion, they have to be inspected and cleaned just like everything else.
sterile. You got to watch it. When somebody has 18 drafts on, you know, you see these draft things, names I've never even heard before. And I was in the business over almost 70 years, and I've never even heard some of the names of beers.
Oh, yeah, they're coming up with everything.
Dragon's Milk. Have you heard it?
And
I got you a bottle of Dragon's Milk a couple of years ago,
yeah,
remember?
Oh, yeah.
You brought some fritters back from, were you in Caldwell?
From, yeah, right.
Yeah, and I gave you one of the bottles was Dragon's Milk. So.
Yeah.
That's why you're so scaly now, right?
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's interesting the way things go. But what I'm wondering, too, are young people going to be influenced by beer being so popular? Are they going to say, well, mother and dad just think this is great stuff. I'm going to see if I can't get some. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
You know what my popular beers were? Stroh's Old Dutch.
Yeah, Old Dutch.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
You remember that name? Yeah. Old Dutch and Stroh's and...
Black Label.
Carling's Black Label.
And Carling's Black Label and Red Cap Ale.
Yeah. I had all those bottles.
Charlie, do you know because of you, more Marian residents know that Flipping the Bird was invented in 320 B.C. than in any other county in America?
Yes, but I didn't tell you the rest of the story.
What's that?
At 320 B.C. in 1 minute, the fat lip was invented.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We're back once again. Now, do you remember, since it was such a long time ago, there was a sign for this particular beer, and the man was holding a tray with a beer on it with his one hand. And I can't remember the name of it. But, yeah, it was a kind of a flat thing that the beer sat on, and that was that would have been in the 40s, probably. Long time ago.
Would it have been Miller High Life? The champagne of beer?
No, I think it was an off-brand, it seems like. Hmm. It didn't last too long. But was there a Duquesne?
Duquesne was a beer, and also Wiedemann's.
Wiedemann's, yeah.
Wiedemann's.
Yeah.
Boy, there was a lot of old ones.
There's a thing on Facebook right now giving you the history of all the beer companies. And do you know what the oldest beer company is in America? Yingling.
Oh, yeah. Zing.
1829.
I've seen that advertised.
Yeah.
And is it Yingling?
Yingling. And they just came to the forefront here. They had always been there, but now they're having a hard time keeping up with demand all over the country. It's amazing.
Thank you to the magic of the marketing people.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Creating a demand for a product.
And I saw in the paper, too, where somebody from Marion was going down to Fort Myers, Florida. And I thought, little would they know, but the son of Fred Malone owns the Fort Myers Brewing Company.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Now, these microbreweries springing up all over the place. A lot of them have been bought by the big brewing companies. So that's what I think everybody hopes for. You'll get to the point where it's so popular and get bought out for one big fat check.
That's what Fred said. His son has been approached by Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want the competition.
Well, not as much competition. They just want to own it, monopolize, so... They want to kill any competition. Remember Anheuser-Busch used to have King Cobra malt liquor? Oh, geez.
Whatever happened to malt liquor?
I don't know.
What percentage of alcohol was it? It was pretty high, was it?
Oh, very high.
Probably
yeah.
7%, eight. Maybe, or 8?
Eight? Yeah. Yeah, at least.
Colt 45? Yeah. Gee whiz.
And then I used to deal with, in tourism in Ohio, the lady that promoted wineries. I can't remember her name now.
Oh, Dorothy. I remember her.
Yeah, and boy, it's worked. There are wineries everywhere, just like beer companies. Amazing.
My mother, back in the 40s, our first restaurant, the Home Cafe, 176 South Main Street in the Bausinger building. Henry Bausinger owned that building, and we bought it from him. The restaurant or cafe's name was Bausinger's Cafe. We bought it. My mother called it the Home Cafe. And I'm cooking and serving people, and one day I said, Mother, people are coming in here asking for wine. She said, no wine, no liquor, no beer, because I'm a prohibitionist, and I don't want any alcohol in our restaurant. I said, Mother, people are asking for wine. And she said, well, if you serve wine, the church people won't come. I said, Mother, that's who's asking for the wine.
Yeah, that's something.
They didn't have enough of communion.
Yeah.
Boy. And it was crazy back in the 40s. That was 1942.
Yeah. By the way, do Greek churches serve communion?
Orthodox. The Orthodox serves communion.
Do they serve real wine?
Yes.
I would think, yeah.
Yes.
Because we're always doctoring up everything, making it. Most churches, you don't have your choice, or no alcohol at all for communion, just grape juice.
Ugh.
Yeah. No, it has to be wine in the Greek church, Orthodox.
Yeah, the original was wine.
Way back.
Marriage Feast of Cana.
Yeah. Look across Europe. You've got the Russian Orthodox, the Greek Orthodox, Macedonians, even clear over to Israel. All those countries. Over 300 million Orthodoxies in the European area, from Russia clear to Israel. And they still baptize or whatever with wine.
Oh.
Communion
with
wine.
Right, right. Yeah, it's...
Trust me. You are cheating God by not using wine in communion.
Well,
just my opinion. I could be wrong.
No, you're all right. You're all right, Terry.
Yeah, really. But we...
there's going to be a lot of priests and churchgoers going to disagree with us, but...
Well, they can hang me or whatever. All I can say is... Forgive me.
Well, the Lutherans have your choice. Alcohol or grape juice. But they don't allow the youngest to have communion.
Oh, right.
You've got to be confirmed or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And besides, what difference would it make? The last time I had communion, it was like, what, a thimble full?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah.
I'm impaired.
Small amounts can't hurt anybody.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Yeah.
Therapeutic value.
Well, anyhow, it's 11:52. And,
gee, you want another eggnog, Charlie?
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Well, we're talking about new things in Marion. What else is new in Marion?
Charlie, you've asked me that 3 times now.
Okay.
Or 4.
Yeah. All right. The corner of Main and Center. Main and Center.
Oh, the old cigar store.
The dump. Yeah, the dump.
What was that? Schulte's? It used to be called Schulte's Cigar Store.
And years ago it was called Comer Smoke Shop.
Yes.
I got a picture of that sign.
Yeah, but I go back with the Danner family, Cliff and his wife, Mary, and son. They all three had that cigar store with the magazines and the cigars and the candies.
Are they going to tear down that portion of that half of, you know, that building was half?
I know you were thinking that the top was going to fall down.
Yeah, right. I still think any night they'll hear, and that'll be it.
It's most
an old building.
I know it's an old building, but it's one of the older buildings in downtown. But it's fenced off. I don't know what they're doing.
They're trying to keep people from being killed when they walk by and it collapses on them.
Yeah.
But the state of Ohio demands that.
I don't know. It's supposed to be a grocery store or a convenience.
Yeah, but where would people park? Now they've got behind City Hall, the Recreation Department. They have that, and they got plenty of parking there.
I've heard that they've got all these apartments downtown that people are living in. That would be convenient for them to walk to the store and get some groceries. I don't believe that.
No, I don't either. No.
Well, the Recreation Department, they're not behind City Hall anymore.
They aren't.
Airport.
The really? Airport?
They're at the airport, yeah. Mike Cheney is there at the airport. They've been out of that.
Behind City Hall.
Yeah, the old Harding building.
But now at their old Recreation Department, though, they're dishing out food. It was in the paper the other day.
Well, it might be there, but that's not the Recreation
It once was.
It used to be.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the Super Guppy airplane, the pictures of it?
I saw that, and then where did I see it before? There was an article about that before. NASA's, the new capsule
cargo,
or whatever.
There was a cargo.
But then I saw it was over here at Mansfield, and I thought, wow.
A buddy of mine was over there and sent me all kinds of pictures of it. Hmm. Now, I saw the first one down in Panama. I thought, it looks like a whale out there on the runway. And here, that was the little guppy. This was the super guppy.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And one of them they made in Europe just like it. They put a mouth on it, painted a mouth, to make it look like a beluga whale.
That airport in Mansfield, 1949, I was a senior, and we all went over to the airport. There was a big concert. And this famous name was supposed to be there. And he showed up. And guess who it was? Tony Bennett.
Really?
Tony Bennett was a young man in 1949, and he sang at the airport there.
Yeah, I flew out of that airport several times on C-130s, and I'd love to go back and do that again.
That would be neat.
Boy. Yeah, Mansfield, they've got it going. They can handle any. They had the large Russian airplane, the biggest in the world, landed there once. And that attracted the attention of everybody.
I didn't think it was any bigger than the Marion.
Oh, much bigger.
Oh, they got longer, I'm sure.
Longer.
They have to have longer.
They used to have more than, they've only got, two or three C-130s over there now. They used to have jet planes over there, I thought, and quite a bit more.
Yeah, well, they used to have a big lineup of C-130s, and they still do, I think. But this guppy plane drew thousands of people. A friend of mine took all these pictures. Boy, it was lined up from one end to the other. And it showed them landing and everything.
I was wondering, why did they land there? It seems like it would have been easier for them to land somewhere closer to Sandusky, which I was
amazed.
There
was no facility closer.
Really?
Really. And what they had to do, they offloaded that rocket assembly and took it on one of those long, long flatbeds, went through Milan, Ohio, to Sandusky.
What's that airport on Ottawa, up at Ottawa, where they have
Liberty Aviation Museum.
That's the museum where they got one that came here a couple of years.
Yeah, right, last year.
The Tri-Motor.
Yeah.
The Tri-Motor's up there, and then the
they got
TBM Avenger.
B-17's up there.
They're building one.
Is that what? Okay, they're building one up there.
But they've got a restaurant that used to be from Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, a diner.
Yeah, it's a diner.
They hauled it all the way. Oh, we have a caller here now. Just a second. Caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, you talking about the guppy? Yesterday's paper on the front page, if you look, there's a story about it. And they showed it on the news the other night landing.
I know, yes, I saw it.
Got that story Yeah, I don't know if you saw that or not.
I did.
Yep.
Yeah, I got a lot of pictures of it.
That's a heck of an airplane.
Yeah, boy. Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was a... It attracted people from all over when they saw that circling Mansfield.
Yeah.
Oh, my land. Well, I keep thinking... Bird. Mansfield with their, you know, the base.
Yeah.
The 179th Airlift Base and National Guard.
We're getting up there, Charlie. It's almost time to leave.
Yeah, we got 1 minute left.
1 minute.
Yeah, a whole minute left.
Oh, boy.
Just thinking that 1 minute, you could jump off the cliff there in the Rio Grande. Yeah, what do they call that place? The Grand Canyon?
Yeah, how about the Twin Towers?
Yeah, the Twin, yeah. Eiffel Tower.
Oh, the Eiffel Tower. Yeah, man, that's an Eiffel. Yeah.
I've been on top of the Empire State Building.
I've been on top of the Empire State Building and the Eiffel Tower.
Okay.
What about Mount Everest?
Mount Everest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you used to go to the restroom there.
Yeah.
I used to ski it.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I know because I passed you once.
You passed him.
Yeah, you were hanging back there. And I said, hey, Karen, what are you doing back there? They got a rope holding you back.
You threw a snowball. You Yeti. Threw a snowball at him.
Yeah.
You're mistaking me for the Yeti.
Hey, we got to run.
Bye.
George, you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place.